the time here is now 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Brian Curtis in Los Angeles, along with Paul Allen in Sydney. And our guest is Tony Quinones, CEO of Bright Path Laboratories. Tony, you're here to talk a little bit more about COVID vaccines and also an issue in the United States that occasionally the United States finds itself dependent on other countries for life-saving medicines. First, let's talk about that. What's the cause of that? What's the basic cause of that in your view?
Well, thanks for letting me on the show. I'm really excited to talk about this issue that's been a bit of our own making. Since the 1970s, the offshoring of manufacturing of active pharmaceutical ingredients has been moved outside of the U.S. into other countries. And as we've just recently seen with supply chain issues, it makes getting some of our life-saving essential medicines that we need in immediate fashion a little bit more difficult to come by. And it's been that offshoring where almost 20%, 28% of those API manufacturing facilities that supply the U.S. market are based here, with 72% of them being overseas, including 13% of them being in China. So with as much of 80% of those bulk pharmaceutical chemicals used by our manufacturers are needed to be imported, it really creates a lot of issues, potential issues, of which we saw with some of our dwindling supply of essential medicines over this past couple of years.
Offshoring obviously saves money, but creates the sort of problems that you describe. Onshoring solves those problems, but who's going to absorb the cost?
Yeah, great question. I think that's the exciting thing about innovation and new advanced manufacturing techniques that drive those costs down, much of which we do in our company. We've been incubated out of research and development agreements with national labs here in the U.S. to look at ways in which we can reduce those costs of materials in the process, still being able to produce the same API or medicine. And that's something that's been really supported by the FDA over the past 4 years, and now really emphasized with the FDA by current Commissioner Janet Woodcock, really pushing heavy that continuous flow manufacturing is the future of medicine and manufacturing here in the U.S. There's several companies like mine that can do that.
Well, the opportunity has certainly been there already for companies to do that, and yet they've chosen the cheaper alternative, which is to offshore the production. Why didn't they do that before? You know, look to innovation and look to technology.
Well, I think I'm a bit of an industry outsider, so I can think of a lot of different reasons. When you've got over $1 billion of sunk costs in these foreign countries and a system that has been functioning for decades, there wasn't necessarily the need or the perceived need for it. But now that we've seen with new mRNA type of medicines and technology and the demand for personalized medicine, the need for advanced techniques are absolutely necessary so we can respond to rapid drug discovery, rapid drug development, and rapid drug manufacturing. That's now at our fingertips.
And does Build Back Better make that easier if it goes through?
Oh, well, it was exciting to see very specific language talking about advanced pharmaceutical ingredient support at $9 billion in the legislation, because often I think it was overlooked that the term manufacturing was assuming that the raw materials were being produced here. And really, the innovators here in our country weren't getting the type of contracting support and grant support needed to really accelerate this type of technology.
To what degree do you think
we're very supportive of it?
Yeah, has the pandemic sort of galvanized concern around this issue? Do you think that there's an opportunity now to make a change?
Yeah, it's very exciting for us as we now speak with people that read the headlines, and this is a topic of concern over the past 2 years where some people were unaware of some of the supply chain issues, but also some of the quality issues that are in the industry using older techniques and older type of facilities, and the challenges that sometimes the FDA inspectors have in getting into those facilities. And several great investigative journalists have revealed some of those issues, of which we can solve by having it in our own backyard, and inspectors can come much more handedly into one of the facilities and inspect the facilities to make sure that the quality of the medicines are what they say they are.
Are you specialists in orphan rare disease medicines? And let me give you a chance to toot your horn a little bit about maybe telling us how you partner with other companies to get the job done.
Yeah, the last 2 days, we've been with some pretty significant players in the manufacturing space here in the U.S. that our lawyers are putting pen to paper and working on some agreements to make the rapid development of these drugs have a direct impact on the orphan rare disease space. So our company was founded with that was our intent. Our technology team, myself, we saw an opportunity to say, let's use this technology to tackle this problem, because the excuse of saying, well, it's too expensive, there's not enough margin in that, we know, because we're a smaller footprint, we don't require as much personnel, that we could go after those smaller volumes and clean up some of the chronic shortages in the FDA shortage list. And so we've got some fantastic university partners around the country that we're working with them to rapidly get their drug discovery into development and clinical trial material, while at the same time we're able to handle the volume of 100 kilos of API. So I think the word has really just been word of mouth, and we're just beginning to get aggressive and go after developing our business model. And I think so far the word of mouth has been pretty good.
All right. Tony Quinones, CEO of Bright Path Laboratories, thanks so much for joining us today on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.